Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about the God of War Ragnarok Twitter drama, PlayStation getting its own Elite controller, and our deep dive on all our burning The Last of Us Part 1 questions. We'll have all this and more because this is PS I Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Greg. That's Blessing. That's Janet. And you can get this episode and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. There you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get the weekly post show. If you have no bucks to toss our way, support us on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, and everywhere else with the creator code kindoffunny. You can get PS I Love You XOXO for free with ads and without the post show over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady, Tyler Ross, Delaney Twinning, First Responder, ND, Olive Party from the KF Community Discord, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Alex J. Sandoval, Casey Andrew, James Hastings. Today we're brought to you by Shopify and Athletic Greens, but first, let's start with a PSN message from you. Blessing, Ryan Poala Higgins has written in. He wants to apologize to you.
Good.
But before we do that, what I need to know is, when I did the cold open, did you chew your food or did you pause? Because I'm doing the open, so but then I looked away when the intro, you had this giant mouthful of food. What were we doing there?
So right before we started, right, when Barrett clicked go, I put in a giant bite of cantaloupe into my mouth because I have this fruit salad situation. I did the thing again where I went to 7-Eleven. What was that, Barrett?
I said yummy, yummy.
Yummy, yummy. I had a really yummy, yummy in my tummy. I went to 7-Eleven because once again, I forgot to eat food this morning. And I was like, I don't want to be hungry during the PS Love You XOXO podcast. Sure. And so I went there, got a little boost of energy of whatever this cold brew thing is. And then I got the fruit.
You not read? Whatever this is.
Down cold brew coffee with oat
milk. Just walks original. Into the 7-Eleven and grabs the first thing he sees and then just rings it up.
It was honestly one of those ones. I was like, I don't know what this is, but it says cold brew on it, and I know that'll give me energy. And so I grabbed and I bought it. But yeah, I put a bite of fruit into my mouth, and then Barrett went live, and I forgot that we don't do the actual intro. Yeah. So I didn't want to like chew through your cold open because I felt like, I don't know, I didn't want to be rude.
I wouldn't have thought it was rude, but I appreciate the professionalism of shifting the food back to the center of your mouth, and then as soon as you can, chewing like little rabbit getting through.
The tough part of it is that it was a big bite, and so I had to act like I didn't have a huge thing in my mouth. I just had to like sit there like, oh yeah, no, everything was normal.
Ryan Poala Higgins writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, Blessing, I apologized. I question you when you picked The Last of Us Part 1, back then Last of Us Remake, for the PS I Love You XOXO versus XCast Fantasy Critic League. PS I Love You XOXO are dominating the league since the main shows have finished for the summer. What are you looking forward to adding to your teams? Now, Blessing, you are the master of the fantasy.
Well, I don't know if you say dominating the league.
Barrett, you're on our show today, so you're on our side. When you go over to the XCast, and I already recorded this week. When you go to the XCast next week, and Paris is like, whoa, Steam Deck.
We need to log those old guys into this website because
they don't even know. That's the big thing. Of course, chat be cool. We're going to talk a lot of stuff about the fantasy draft here, of course, and talk about probably what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Don't immediately go remind them. You know what I mean? Gary, Paris, they said it and forgot it. Mike, he's had so many tarantulas, he doesn't even know he ever did it. We can sit it up right now of what we want to go to the next thing.
He did pick up the Callisto Protocol, so that's...
He's definitely aware. He's been playing the whole time.
I was very upset about that because I did also bid on the Callisto Protocol, thinking that everybody else had forgotten about it. So when I saw he got that, I was like, fuck. All right,
he bids high, too, because he also... Didn't he also get Pokemon? Like, he'll drop like $10 without thinking about it.
Yeah, right now, Mike only has $58 left in his budget. If you missed this, remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to kindoffunny.com/KF League and watch us in a fantasy critic league. It's basically like fantasy football or whatever fantasy sport you play, where you draft games. You have a budget of $100, though, once that's done, and you can spend it as you see fit. Obviously, people with the best scores off of Open Critic, those are applied as points to the things, also negative points to the things. And then at the end of the year, we'll know who wins the trophy. The thing I have upstairs, I've never actually shown the trophy because remember, I got delayed like 3 weeks when I ordered it or whatever. So, Blessing, don't put more fruit in your face yet. Mm-hmm. You and Janet are going to have a conversation real quick about what your next moves are. I'm going to go grab the trophy.
Okay. Now I feel... I always imagine just seeing the trophy when we earned it, but this is okay.
Yeah, too, I didn't actually realize he actually bought a trophy. I didn't expect that.
I have to kind of look at what everyone else has. Basically, the way I do this is I look at what I am looking forward to, and then I see of those, do I think any of those are going to really score high? So something like, let me do a quick search and see. Like, this is a small one, but like Bear and Breakfast, no one's picked that up. I feel like that will at least be, I'll at least break even, and I can probably get it for a dollar. So like maybe I'd pick that one up, you know? Midnight Fight Express, I'm not sure how, if I want to pick that up. I know there's a demo.
Yeah, check out that demo.
You played that, right? Because I saw you post about it. I don't know if you played it.
I haven't played it yet.
You're false flagging the Twitter posts over here?
No, I'm slowly making... I downloaded all those games to play through the demos. I played some of them, but I've like been taking my time with it because like, why play everything in one night? But also, as you're going through it, I do want to shout out that like, you know, right now I have 4 spots open on my thing. I have throughout the week made bids on games that would fill out the rest of my catalog. And
are you going off stuff you saw at Summer Game Fest?
The rest of your catalog, wow.
Yeah, and I'm going off of stuff, yes, that I saw at Summer Game Fest, stuff that they revealed during E3, Xbox's thing, PlayStation's thing, and Summer Game Fest Live. And stuff like now we're at the place where I think we know for the most part how the rest of the year is going to shape out. And that's been my whole strategy is I'm not going to make bids early, right? I feel like it's during E3 season and now non-E3 season where things really shape as far as how the rest of the year looks. And so I've been waiting for this exact moment to make those bids. And now I've made those bids.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to show those cards yet or not.
Well, it's just us. It's just us talking. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to say what you'd bid. I guess you would have to because he's asking you what.
Well, you could say what you bid on, but not how much you bid on them. You know.
I can tell you.
Give me like.
I would feel like some of them are pretty self-explanatory.
You know, that one fighting game. I'm guessing, right?
Which one?
Oh God! Yeah.
Street Fighter.
You is that really coming out this year,
though? No, that's not.
No. Street Fighter 6 is next year. I did. I mean, DNF Duel I bid on a while ago. That's already on my roster. I bid on Pentiment from Obsidian.
Okay. Sure.
That looks like one of those, you know, nerdy ass indie ass games that only a specific group of people will play and review. And I think that game is going to be quality. I think that game is going to live up to. Oh, this is a really great Obsidian game with a lot of heart put into it and a lot of quality put into it for the kind of game it is. I'm not going to play that game. That game does not look like it speaks to me, and I'm not sure like how many people are going to check that one out, but I think that game is
the right audience checks it out.
Yeah,
the right audience people review that, you're all set.
Exactly. So that's one that I put in there. Another one, Metal Hellsinger. I got to check that out.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that game seems dope as hell, and I'm actually getting my hands on it. It plays dope as hell, and so many people I've talked to now, like Andy loves it, SkillUp over from youtube.com/SkillUp loves it. Like everybody who I've talked to that's checked out that game really digs
it.
So
that's a smart one.
Been on that one. Soul Hackers 2, I've been on. That game seems very quality.
Yeah, we like that. We like what we saw there,
Yeah, we like that, and like going back, Shin Megami Tensei 5, I believe, had a pretty good Metacritic score, and so like going off of the pedigree of that, if Soul Hackers 2 does the same thing for Soul Hackers, I think that does well. And then Escape Academy, I bid on. I think that's a game that's going to come out and catch a lot of people in there.
Yeah, we're all talking about the same stuff then, which is good. Because again, we are, remember ladies and gentlemen, we play as a team. It will add up the scores for PS I Love You, add up the scores for XCast, see who wins. But then on the winning team, whoever gets the most points gets this coveted trophy. Hold on, Bear, bring it back to me. This coveted trophy that took like 6 weeks to get here for some reason. But
it's pretty solid.
Yeah, like that. There you can read it there. Yeah,
fantasy draft. Yeah, look at that. That's cool.
Not too shabby, everybody. We'll see who takes it home.
I'll have to make a space for it on my shelf.
Well, yeah, what are we at right now in terms of the rankings?
So currently, at least from what we were adding up in theoreticals yesterday, assuming that like Blessing was going to get his max points from Neon White, and I think Paris getting his max points for TMNT. TMNT. I think the XCast crew is now at like roughly 116 points, and I say roughly because they do like the point, like 87.16 kind of stuff. So they're at roughly 116, and PS I Love You is currently roughly at 104. So you guys are catching back up. You guys were down like 30 points for a while.
Yeah, but you know how it is. It's not, you know, this all comes together at the end of the year. That's where we really got to worry about it. That's where the rubber meets the road, Janet.
Yeah, that's why I need.
And don't forget, I got God of War Ragnarok. Come on.
Yeah. Greg having God of War Ragnarok is going to be huge. Because now I'm very confident that that game is probably going to see 2022 based on how Koi Barlog is tweeting, not to get ahead of myself.
Not to get ahead of yourself for the rest of the show, correct. And then, Janet, I came in late, but were you already talking about your next move? Did you already make it?
Yeah, I just mentioned a couple, like how usually I just look at whatever my release calendar is that I make for myself and what do I think will score decent. So stuff that I am going to consider, or at least score above 70. Because also if it's like an indie game that's small enough that no one else is picking it up, like I don't mind spending $1 and only getting a couple points. So stuff like, you know, Baron Breakfast might fit that bill. Midnight Fight Express might fit that bill. I'll have to actually have to redo my calendar because I missed a bunch of like indie stuff. Like I'm going to kind of take a look at whatever Devolver has going out. Like I already have Cult of the Lamb. Their games are usually pretty solid, especially again, this isn't about do I love the game or do I find it to be like the most critically acclaimed. It's what do I think people are going to rate it and how will it generally perform.
And that's always the hardest part is so many times I want to put games that I'm excited for, like, but I've been burned before in Fantasy Critic, right? A game that I'm excited for that I think is going to do really well just doesn't perform that way.
Sometimes
that's
how I feel know that those will suck too, though. You know, like when I got Memoir Blue, like that was a big W, even though it was a personal L because I was excited for that game and I did beat that game.
My thing was, I like for Baron Breakfast, I look at Baron Breakfast and I get the PTSD of last year with, no, not a Cozy Grove, with To the Rescue, the dog shelter simulator game, which I booked thinking, hey, not many people will review this and it'll be a fun simulation game. And I forget what it got. I think it was like last year of 74, 76 or something. It got me a few points, but this is when I was up against Blessing, who was just putting up double digits, just destroying.
You know, Baron Breakfast is definitely like, I'm excited for that game, but it could totally slip below that. Like, there is a world where I see that being just an okay game, even from, like, a wide slew of critics. Like, I look at something like Paparazzi, a game that I was looking forward to, a game I reviewed fairly low. I think I gave it a 2 out of 5, and I was debating a 1 out of 5 because it ran really poorly for me on Xbox when I played it. That Metacritic is at a 70. So it's like, that wouldn't get you anything, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, is this going to be a Paparazzi Memoir Blue, or is it going to be more like, you know, Cozy Grove, I think, is a good example where that one's kind of a mixed colloquial vibe, but I think on Metacritic it does okay, so those can be hard to assess, so I'll have to kind of just think a little bit more. See, like Metacritic's like a 71 72, it's like, okay, is it worth the risk? I don't know, but I'll have to look over that and plan it out, because I've been kind of, I feel like I've been a little bit asleep at the wheel a little bit on Fantasy Critic, so I want to get back into it and make sure that I'm not being killed by Blessing.
Such a big part of it's hanging off and waiting to see what happens at E3, you know what I mean, in the early E3 time frame and what gets announced.
One of the ones I want to throw out there, too, that I forgot to mention, because earlier this week, I tried to bid on it, and for some reason, the website wouldn't go through. It did go through today, and I think that that comes with some updates that we've gotten today. Overwatch 2. I think that's going to be a very big one, right? Because Overwatch 1 is a killer on Metacritic. Overwatch 2 is coming in with, like, different sorts of weirdness, because it is like more iterative. It does feel like more of a big update. But I think even still with that, it's going to be big. It could be big for Metacritic, given the game coming out coming out and actually living up to, oh, this is bringing in the same quality that we expect from Overwatch. If that's the case, then I think it might get high 80s, right? And so, like, that's one that I just put another bid on in the situation where I don't get the other four games that I bid on, but that's one to keep an eye on.
Greg, I need you to stop Jedi Survivor, by the way.
The request has been made.
Okay.
Remember, this is all you make the request on bids and drops, and then they happen on a calendar thing?
Yeah.
Jedi Survivor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not this year.
Did he get on your thing?
Yeah, I had it from the draft from when we went from way back in the day.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Janet, what were you saying?
I was just going to ask before we move on, how do y'all decide how much money to put down on these games? Because I kind of ran into that earlier this year with like Pokemon, where I put a couple of dollars, nothing serious, but like Mike put like 10 or 15 or something. And obviously, like, there's my own cutoffs for how much I may want to spend, but how do y'all decide that?
Usually for me, it's I'm trying to pay attention to how many people are paying attention. I think this is such a long thing that it's often, I think, you know, again, if the chat doesn't screw us over, I'm looking right at you, chat. Don't screw us over, people listening. If you don't go tell Paris about this, he's not going to remember.
So many games will not release.
And that's my thing, is nobody tells Paris. He's clowned out. It doesn't matter. He's over. We don't have to worry about it.
We tell him every week, and they just don't log in.
What's his fucking excuse? He's playing a Steam Deck. Can't be bothered, huh?
And he's taking pictures of his Steam Deck.
Clown.
I do play the long game when it comes to spending money. Like, for games that I'm bidding on for, let's say, the first half to, like, maybe the mid part of the year, I'm only bidding $1 or $2. That way that once we get into, like, August-ish, if there's still a space that I have open, or if there's a game I want to drop, or if some big game gets announced, right, for the fall that everybody has all eyes on, my goal is to be able to bid a $97 on a thing like that and make sure that nobody else is able to get it. So I'm pretty stingy with my money in that way.
We shall see, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it posted on kindoffunny.com/KF League if you want to watch everybody battle it out for the Kind of Funny 2022 Fantasy Draft Championship. I don't know what I put on there. It doesn't make much sense. We didn't know what it was, and I did it.
I will say, I'm playing this game more so, I feel like, in competition with you guys, with the XCast crew. Right, because they're not paying attention. It's not like Mike doesn't know what he's doing, right? Like, I see you guys as guys that actually pay attention and know how to play the game.
Downfall of the PS I Love You team, because they at least Mike is trying to wrangle them in thinking like a team. The less you guys think like a team, the less likely you guys are going to actually come out on top, and any of you actually get the trophy. You know,
but look at the scoreboard right now, right? I think Janet is in the lead with four of her games being released, you know, those being Sifu, Lego, Pokemon Legends Arceus, and then Ollie Ollie World. And you have 50 points, right? Which is the highest out of anybody right now. I'm looking at...
Paris is only 1 point behind her.
None of his games are coming out.
You know, by the time everything lands for the end of the year, that's going to come back to bite him. And even with
still rally, but we'll see.
We'll see. But even with me, right? Like, I'm feeling very good about my roster. And once I fill out the rest of it, I'm going to feel very good about it, because I don't know. I don't think I've dropped any of my games yet. And the ones I have on the board are Elden Ring and Neon White, and those both have done very well for me. Like, the one thing that's fucked me up so far is that I counterpicked, for some reason, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which actually did very good. But then I look at the rest of my list, and it's like, Bayonetta 3 is probably going to come out this year. Last is Part 1. We got the confirmation on it. I'm sure that's going to do incredible. Hollow Knight Silk Song, we'll see, but I think there is a chance that could come out this year. Saints Row, I think, will be fine. DNF Duel is going to do good, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is going to do good. Right, I'm feeling, and that leaves me more space to get those points where, you know, Janet has already four games filled in there. I have potential. I have potential to grow there.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm feeling good.
Well, I think Barrett's probably right. But...
Because
y'all have always been this way, even from the beginning. Y'all never want to. You're like, oh, let's be a team, but let's not actually be a team.
But again, if we're a strong team, some of this, I already bid on the Metal Hellsinger 2. You know what I mean? It's coming to us no matter what, right? So Mike doesn't have the money to throw around.
Yeah, but it's like we're going
to
pass the trophy around. Yeah,
but again, because, you know, episode that we finally get Walk Paris and Gary through logging into the site, they both have, you know.
What episode was that?
I'm saying when we actually get
They're done. Barrett, if you don't screw us, chat, if you don't screw us,
I play both sides. I play both sides.
You know you do, and I appreciate it.
Because, you know, no matter what, I win.
But here's the thing. You already recorded the XCast for this week, all right? So that means Gary, Paris, and Mike don't pay attention to you again, Barrett, until next week. It might be too late by then.
Paris's budget is $98. So there was a point that Paris did go in and bid on something.
I remember he got something.
He's
in order.
Tunic, right?
Tunic. He was super stoked that he got Tunic and Nobody Saves the World for a buck a piece.
Oh, wow.
And then he forgot to play the game anymore.
Yeah, we'll have a post show at one point for the XCast and get them in there.
Well, for now, let's talk about topic of the show. Tots. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what. We were building PS I Love You. And we were like, let's talk about PlayStation Plus. We've all been playing a bunch of different stuff on there. We'll give a review. And then Bless was like, wait, we haven't done a show since The Last of Us Part 1 came out. Which sounds ridiculous, because I feel like we've been talking into microphones about video games and The Last of Us for weeks at this point, since it happened. But he's right that at Summer Game Fest, The Last of Us Part 1, that's right, The Last of Us Remake was in fact announced. So we figured we would dive into the information we have here and then get into the burning questions. Blessing, Janet, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to start, in case you missed it, ladies and gentlemen, over on the PlayStation blog, and join the post in progress as they are talking about The Last of Us Part 1. With leaps in technology and hardware that allow us to push the limits of the visual fidelity and interactivity, we're thrilled to announce this complete remake of The Last of Us, releasing September 2nd, 2022, for the PlayStation 5 console and in development for PC. We've implemented modernized gameplay, improved controls, and expanded accessibility options in the single-player experience to allow even more individuals to enjoy the game. Effects, exploration, and combat have all been enhanced. Leveraging the PS5's powerful hardware, we also implemented 3D audio, haptics, and adaptive triggers. Both returning fans and new players alike will have the opportunity to experience both The Last of Us Part 1 and its prequel story, The Left Behind, in a whole new way. For this rebuild, Neil has passed the directorial baton to game director Matthew Gallant and creative director Sean Esguy to bring this project to life. Matthew joined our studio a decade ago to work on The Last of Us and Uncharted 4 Thief's End. And then we go into their whole background. Of course, Sean, you all know, he worked on Avengers. Let's not forget. Right there, that's the stuff. We're watching the trailer right now. Janet, from what you've heard right now, what you've seen in the trailer, what does this do for you?
I am generally looking forward to it because I like The Last of Us, and I think it'd be a fun reason to go back and replay it. I am still sort of waiting for... I'll probably play it regardless, like, to be honest. Like, I think that's just where I'm at. It is a big bonus if they redo some of the trophies and don't make one require you to beat it on, like, the hardest difficulty. That's what I really want. And I am a little bit, though...
Brady King writes in to my Twitter, actually, because on Twitter I said, what are your burning questions? And Brady King says, his burning question is, what does the trophy list look like? There's no multiplayer, so I imagine that has an impact. Janet, as you know, I'm obsessed with trophies. You and I enjoy a good trophy list. We're the same people. How's the Horizon Platinum going? We got back to that at all yet?
No.
I feel like that's going to be one where I turn it on and platinum it before you, even though you've been working on it.
That might end up happening, and I do fear that. I feel like I've lived like 8 lives since we've last talked, even though I technically didn't miss any of the content I'm regularly booked for. Like, I did KFGD and PS I Love You. I left to do my brother's wedding stuff. I came back, and now we're here. Like, I technically did not miss regular content, but so much has happened that I feel like I'm a whole new person gaming wise. So I don't even know. But
well, also, I didn't realize that was your brother's wedding. I knew you went to a wedding, of course. Let's compliment the look. One suit look, that was amazing. You look great. You look like an adult. Used to you here talking about toys all the time. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I was really worried.
You were gonna steal something with Sully.
Yeah,
yeah, that's 100%. Like 100%. The dream. That's what I was hoping to look like, and not like a boy going to get his first communion wafer, which was the fear. Which, not gonna lie, when you had the with the vest and the tie, I think I was giving first communion. But once I took it off, I felt like, okay, this is pretty good. But yeah, it was my brother's wedding. I was his best man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That is why. Great. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I was so
look
like.
Look at Janet here. Look busy. At Janet. That's fresh. Mob. Thank you. Mob boss. You know what I mean? She's up to something. You. I don't trust her. In a good way, like in the photo. I mean, I'm going to watch this movie. I'm going to watch this heist movie starring Janet.
Yeah, it came out really good. I had to, like, do the speech and everything, and then, you know, like, a million, like, little errands, and, like, okay, I have the ring, don't lose them. Like, I had, like, a lot of stuff going on, and then in between that, I did, like, Fortnite and all this other stuff. It was, like, crazy. But, yeah, anyway, that's one of the many reasons I haven't finished the Horizon Platinum, but we'll see how it goes.
So the question then becomes for Last of Us and the trophy list there. I think a lot, obviously, most of the frequently asked questions here are stuff for us just to debate. Inarguably, this trophy list is going to be completely different. Correct, Janet?
I mean, I would assume so.
And then inarguably, this is going to be very similar to The Last of Us Part 2's trophy list, correct?
Sure.
I think a lot of questions that people submitted over on Twitter for me and what it is, I think a lot of it read like they need to be calmed down. It's going to be okay kind of thing, where I think the whole point of The Last of Us Part 1 is to take the learnings of The Last of Us Part 2 and, of course, the Uncharted series, but where we are modern video games and apply it here, which to me means, of course, yes, this trophy list is going to be incredibly on par with Last of Us Part 2, which means it'll be a fun platinum that doesn't make you do crushing difficulty like it used to be in the Uncharted, that doesn't make you do a crazy ass multiplayer mode like Last of Us 1 had. That makes sense, right? Blessing.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have a lot of the same features that you had in Last of Us Part 2 regarding accessibility and all that stuff. Like, you're going to be able to do the thing where you turn all the color off, right, except for the interactable bits of the world and go through it that way. That way you get all the collectibles that you want. And my wonder is, do you have more collectibles, right? Because in Last of Us Part 1, it was mainly the Firefly medallions. Is that what they were?
You had Firefly medallions, then you had the posters you had to interact with, which weren't collectibles.
Yeah. You also had...
There was fun notes. Like
conversation moments that you had to grab.
Oh, yeah.
And those were like a pain in the ass
that
to try to like
me off. because I did try to platinum Last of Us 1 back in 2013, or when they put out the remaster, actually. And that, for some reason, somehow I missed one dialogue thing, and that fucked up my whole run.
Yep.
Yeah, well, like, and so, yeah, I think it's interesting that you sort of, like, couched all these questions that were, like, about to break down as the fear and just needing reassurance, because that definitely is what I felt as well, like, seeing it. And then, of course, it had, like, an awkward rollout because it leaked right before. So yeah, then it was like, hey, and it's, like, and I get acknowledging it because you kind of, like, have to, but I do, I felt the weight of the leak in the presentation, which I think really hurt the excitement around the game, because, like, you could tell that everyone was kind of like, yeah, I mean, this would have been really cool if you didn't see it. And so it felt like the energy was low. And then I felt like I didn't get what I wanted to get from the showing of it. And that does make me less excited for it, because I didn't feel excitement. I didn't feel a reason to get excited for it from the way that it was presented. No offense to the people that spoke about it, but
I feel like we would have had that regardless of the leak that happened right beforehand, because it was the morning of Summer Game Fest where the PlayStation Direct thing popped, and you had the trailer and you had all the screenshots and all that stuff going in hours before the Summer Game Fest thing. And so you had the weight of that. But I think even removed from that, we've all known that Last of Us Remake has existed for like the last year, ever since the Bloomberg reports talked about the creation of Last of Us Remake and how it got here, from it being passed around from the San Diego Sony studio, the visual arts group, ended up getting handed over to Naughty Dog to do in-house and all that stuff, yada yada, and how like there's all these different ideas of like what to do with the Naughty Dog IP. I feel like we still would have landed in the same place of like, oh yeah, it's more Last of Us. And even if that hadn't leaked, part of me thinks that we still would have landed here anyway. I think there might have been a little bit of a pop of, oh shit, it's The Last of Us. Oh, they're remaking part one. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, it looks exactly the same except better. All right, cool. But like, it's not the excitement of a brand new Sony IP.
I think a big part of it that is, yes, you're correct, that if it had popped unheard of, right, we would have gone through that range of emotions. But I also think we would have wrestled with what we wrestled with when the Bloomberg report happened, where it was just like, why are you making it, right? This seems like we don't need it, that we just had the remaster. Yeah, I think it's been in the conversation so long that by the time it got here, there wasn't as much, do we really need this? Does this really need to exist? Of course, there are a lot of questions going around about that and a lot of things to tackle about it. One of the reasons being, of course, they put out the prices for what you're getting here, right? And what you are getting in terms of content. Last of Us Part 1 Standard Edition, just the normal version, is retailing as a PlayStation 5 game. $70 right there. Then there's Last of Us Part 1 The Digital Deluxe. That's $80. It comes with early unlocks for increased crafting speed, increased healing speed, a 9mm reload speed increase, rifle clip capacity increase, explosive arrow gameplay modifier, a dither punk filter, speed run mode, and then 6 weapon skins. And then if that wasn't enough, there's The Last of Us Part 1 The Firefly Edition that's going to retail for $100, available in the US direct.playstation.com, and includes early access featured in the Digital Deluxe that I just talked about, as well as a steelbook display case and The Last of Us American Dreams comics 1-4. And so,
how much was that one?
That one's $100.
Oh, I thought you said $800. I was like, Jesus.
Oh, man, no, that'd be too much for sure. That'd be way too much. Maybe I did and I screwed up, but thank you, Bear.
You get a console with it. You get 2 consoles.
And so, again, like, when it got announced and they did it and it's Last of Us and it's Left Behind and it's, you know, completely redone, yada yada, I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And it never dawned on me that people would still have this conversation, because we had this conversation back. And I shouldn't say dawned on me. It just wasn't one of mine, because I feel like we talked about it for so long ago.
Yeah.
Looking at what you're getting here, Janet, do you care? Do you think it should, is $70 okay?
Or I mean,
remains to be seen.
It's not exciting, right? Like it coming in not like cheaper than what a normal, like a new IP or a new thing would retail for, is inherently a bummer, because it was up for debate. Like, we're not going to be disappointed when we see, like, you know, the next Ratchet and Clank game is $70, because that's what those games cost.
Sure.
But because this had the possibility of being lower, it is inherently always going to be disappointing that it is not cheaper, even if it's like fair. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't me trying to say that it's not worth that money in terms of what they need to make back for the time they invested in it. It is just that as an audience member and as a fan, it is not exciting to see it there. And I think a lot of people too, we were debating like, how are they going to kind of release this? Will it be kind of like a bundled kind of big director's cut experience with like both the games and like maybe some extra stuff. Like, it doesn't really have those intriguing bells and whistles that we sort of had on our wish list. So
that's the thing.
Disappointing, but it's not exciting to see like this price point in these offerings.
I think that's another missed opportunity for them here, right? Is, again, you are coming to the table with The Last of Us, obviously critically acclaimed game, beloved PlayStation game and franchise now. And you're saying it's completely redone. It's a remake. We're doing it. And we can go through the bells and whistles in a second in terms of what they're doing graphically with it. But for a first announcement, I don't think they did the job of, hey, of course this is a full price game. There is, like, you know what I mean? Like, later on in the questions here, there is a whole thing from Felix Wood is Left Behind in the main campaign or is it separate like the original? Piggybacking off that, not on purpose, but just because that's what trogs do. In our live chat right now on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, my dog Nick96 says, I think it would be cool if they had a mode that inserts the Left Behind campaign into the game, not by default, just as an option. And what this starts to remind me of as we talk about it is the way Tim will fairly justified criticize the way Nintendo puts out remasters or re-releases and does the bare minimum of putting it in there, right? Like, is that would be a really cool feature. Yeah. And if there's that level of, hey, we know you've paid for this game twice at this point, you know, we know you've played this game a dozen times at this point, we're trying to put things in there that are going to keep you on your toes in an unexpected way. Cause we'll get to like talking about the way it plays and if it's just like Last of Us and yada yada, but just for bullet points of the fact that, hey, we thought through the way a Naughty Dog fan would consume this game and we want to give you something different, I think would work in a way to make it shine. Bless.
Yeah, like I get why they charge $70 for it, and I also get why the audience looks at that and goes, oh, that's kind of a bummer, right? Because I think, you know, talking about what it is, like, it is Last of Us 1 from the ground up. It is them going in, making it look like Last of Us Part 2, making the characters look great. Like, if you look by the side-by-sides, there's one that they tweeted on the PlayStation account of Tess.
Yeah.
Looking, Tess from Last of Us Part 2, or from Last of Us 1 remastered, and then Tess from this new upcoming game. And it looks different, right?
Yeah, like, if you look at the glow-up Barrett, like, I put it in there and stuff, it's, yeah, pretty
yeah, remarkable. Like, it's remarkable, right? And it looks like Last of Us Part 2, and this is them putting in like real work into it, right? Like, this isn't just a, hey, like, you know, up-res it, add whatever, put it out. This is them going in there, like, completely redoing it and making the game look incredible and making the game play differently, play the way a modern Last of Us game would play. And I think for that, like, I kind of get the $70, right? Like, again, it is PS5 exclusive. It is like, PlayStation is viewing this and treating this like it is a new first party game. And I think to them, with the amount of work they're putting into it, I think it kind of does count as a new big first party game, but I think it's just a tough sell for the audience, especially when you call it Last of Us Part 1, right? It's not director's cut. It's not Last of Us, you know, crazy edition or like bitten edition or anything
Last
like that.
Last of Us,
right?
Crazy edition.
Yeah. Last of Us Wild edition. Like, it's not that. It's Last of Us Part 1 in a way that I think for them, they're just trying to sell as a new thing. And that isn't landing with the audience. Like, I love the Left Behind, mode that you're talking about, where it is cool, interloop this with the story. I love like a bunch of bonus features, but I don't even think they're looking at this as a bonus feature thing. I wouldn't be surprised if there are talks about The Last of Us Part 1 director's cut coming like a year or two from now does have those things that you're talking about.
There's got to be talk about The Last of Us Collection, that's 1 and 2 bundled together, and you assume for whatever their multiplayer mode that they talked about at Summer Game Fest as well with their concept art would also be a part of it. But I actually want to talk about that before we get out of here. But in terms of Last of Us Part 2, right, if you, Barrett, if you can throw back up the test glow up, right, this is one that went around and a lot of people were like, man, she looks way different, like, as you look at this, right? And that was something that they talked about, that they're able to get way more out of it. Joe Screbbles at IGN was reporting on SGF and said this: we got some more details too, with Druckmann, Troy Baker, and Ashley Johnson appearing on stage to announce that the game features the original performances, but animations have been enhanced. The game features new enemy AI based on Last of Us Part 2, 60 frames per second performance, and new combat options. Again, having that original Last of Us performance capture data, using it here and using the power, I guess, of the PlayStation 5, is going to make these characters look different, but it's going to make them look more realistic. And that's something that, you know, Digital Foundry went into, of course. Digital Foundry has an amazing video up here, Barrett, that I've put in Ari's point here from Kotaku, because they reported on, obviously, the video and pulled quotes from it. So Ari Notis over at Kotaku, reporting on the Digital Foundry video, wrote this. It's impossible to assess whether or not The Last of Us is any fun with 2020-era Naughty Dog controls until the game comes out in September for PlayStation 5. But you can get Digital Foundry, known for best-in-class breakdowns of visual quality, to speak to the graphics. They went deep. Anyone who even tangentially engaged with last week's debate will want to check it out. The big takeaway is clear. Based on publicly available footage, The Last of Us Part 1 is unambiguously more beautiful than the originals. It's especially noticeable in the foliage, which looks to be more lush and full, as if it signed up for a plant version of Hims. Facial textures are head and shoulders above the original and remastered versions. This is especially notable with details as granular as the creases around Joel's mouth, and the lip sync is actually in tune with the vocal tracks now. At one point, Digital Foundry even points out how Ellie's eyes move mechanically in a cutscene from the original, but in the remake, according to the trailer footage, Ellie's eyes are more natural, moving to various focal points on a less of a linear basis. Digital Foundry also compared footage to see how Part 1 stacks up visually to Part 2. Short version, there's very little daylight between the two, something that's most apparent when you look at the environments. Quote, if I presented these shots without labels, you might assume they're from the same game, Digital Foundry's Oliver McKenzie said over footage of two similar landscape screenshots situated next to each other. The same point stands for the character models, which is also why Joel in Part 1 looks older than he did in the 2013 original to be more in line with his age in Part 2, period. Obviously, visuals are great, Janet, but I don't know if that's enough, right, to sell people on picking up and forking over $70 again.
Yeah, the thing I was really sort of disappointed with from how they unveiled this is that they didn't really talk about the gameplay improvements. This is not to discount the visual fidelity and the amount of work that goes into that and the amount of like beauty they've achieved in that. But what is going to get people more interested and what I'm most looking forward to is the idea of having some of those elements of the gameplay modifications we see in Last of Us Part 2 into this now Last of Us Part 1. And while on the blog they did mention, yeah, we're going to have elements of that, like the thing that felt damning to me, and even though it's like, again, I don't want to, you know, this is like live, you're trying to kind of create a chill environment for developers to be able to talk about their game. Like, the point of these showcases is for devs to talk about their game. It's not like we're taking a camera into a behind the scenes interview room. Like, those are very different ways to do journalism and media. Like, they're not going to be a one-to-one. But when Jeff Keighley asked them if this was Last of Us 2 gameplay within Last of Us 1, they didn't answer that question. They kind of just like fluffed by it and were like, oh, this is like, you know, we have improvements and stuff. And that makes me feel like it's not going to be as substantial because they didn't grab onto that moment. And that kind of bums me out a little bit. Like, the thought of it not being maybe as robust as we initially talked about in those earlier conversations. And I also think they didn't do a good job at explaining what From the Ground Up means, because, you know, I watched this with my brother and he's very much, you know, a hardcore gamer and he like listens to our shows and stuff like that. But even for him, he was like, I don't get it. Like, how is this different than like the remat? So they made it from the ground up, but it looks the same. And I'm like, well, yeah, because then I kind of explained like what Ground Up allows for versus a remaster. And I kind of try. And, like, and again, that may seem basic and you may think, oh, well, the audience surely understands that. But I would argue they don't fully, because I would also argue that I don't fully, you know, like I'm not as technologically knowledgeable as people that really study this. But what I wanted them to do was to sell me on it. They know that they're going to get, they know the kind of pushback they're going to get. And it felt like they did not, you know, address those counter arguments head on, even though those conversations, like you said, have been online for a really long time. And that made me a little bit less excited for it because they did not sell it. They just kind of showed it. And I was kind of bummed by that. I think they kind of missed the mark there.
In the lead up to this, and when we were talking about it, right, it was, okay, it will be The Last of Us Part 2's gameplay is what we all assumed based on what you're reading, right? And again, to the questions I got, right, LFC wrote in and says, can Joel dodge? And it's like, oh man, like, yeah, of course, that's Last of Us Part 2. And I was like, well, shit, right? And then it was the same thing where Eric Matthews writes in, I just want to know how things are being changed mechanically. Will upgrading, weapon feel, melee combat, etc. be more in line with Part 2? Are any of the abilities specifically from Part 2, like, say, silencers or a dodge, being brought to Part 1? And I have to say, like, it will be such a disappointing miss if it isn't. If they're going to say
that stuff.
Huh?
No, I don't think so either. Like, I think you'll see some stuff.
The dodge? Like going prone, like Ellie and stuff like that?
When they talked about adding that stuff in for Last of Us Part 2, one of the things they said is that this stuff is, we're bringing this stuff into Last of Us Part 2 because Ellie as a character is more agile. Like, she's younger than Joel. Like, she's smaller. Like, she's able to move in that way that Joel wasn't. And I don't, I think in going back to Last of Us Part 1,
Joel can't lay down.
No, man, you see that tummy? You can't lay down on his front. But no, I do think that you find ways to make the gameplay feel as smooth the Last of Us Part 2. But that's the thing is, I think the reason why they're cagey about it and when Jeff Keighley asks about it is because they're planning to show that stuff in a future showcase or something, right? Like, I think maybe it is a state of play. Maybe it is a PlayStation blog or a random video drop that is them getting more into the details, because I do think that that is going to be more newer information, especially for this game, where I don't think it's gonna feel like Last of Us Part or Last of Us. It's so weird saying Part 1 and not meaning remastered. Last of Us remastered, right? Like, I think, you know, if it's not a dodge, it's gonna be something else, right? If it's not going prone, I think they'll add in something new.
Like, and that's my thing. Like, you cannot come here and be like, modernize gameplay and improve controls, and then be like, oh well, no, like, all the shit that made Last of Us Part 2's combat so good, we didn't bring any of that over because Joel's old. And it's like, I get Joel's old. Okay, he can't dodge roll. Fine. Well, I'll suspend his belief that you're telling me this guy can't fucking lay down. Like, and then it does be, you know, then it gets into the same questions of like, Neil Clapp, is there anything new or is it just a frame for frame remake? Like, remember when we were talking about it, I was talking about, well, if you bring in Last of Us Part 2's gameplay, you're going to blow it up. You're going to expand out these areas. We're going to have bigger
places. That's the thing, to is you got to.
And in the Digital Foundry thing, they're like, obviously there's not much gameplay in there. They did their best. But at one point they're showing some of the gameplay snippets in like the university and being like, this is the same statue, not the same asset, but it's the same statue. It's the same layout. Like, this level design doesn't look different to take advantage of what new stuff would be.
That's the thing. Yeah, if you're going to add in proning, if you're going to add in dodging, if you're going to add in a lot of those elements that you had in Last of Us Part 2, you then got to redo the set dressing in a lot of the levels, right? You got to add in cars where you can like crawl under them and hide and like find new ways to do that. And yeah, from what we've seen, I don't think they're doing that. And so I'm very curious to see what they're talking about in terms of gameplay being rebuilt.
Even though I probably will still play it. Like, I love The Last of Us. I technically actually only played the first one once, even though I played that opening like 80 times. But I think the thing that feels damning to me, and again, this is just my personal opinion on like how I reacted to, you know, officially this unveiling of Last of Us Part 1, is I'm among the most excited for this. Like, when I heard it, I didn't really have the same kind of beefs. Like, I understood where people were coming from, where it's like, oh, this game again. But I'm like, yeah, like, I'm totally down for it. Like,
you're like, yeah, this game again. Let's go.
Like, yeah, like, I was initially the most excited, and I left this less excited. And to me, that's damning. And again, this is just me. I'm just one person. But the fact that I felt like I really was like close to the target audience, I think they're also kind of gunning for people that, again, there are new players on PS5, and they've mentioned that, like, you always have new audiences, you're always trying to get more people in the IP. But like, I did not leave this excited, and I think that's kind of not good in a place where we're supposed to leave things excited, you know. But I don't know,
I'll say I left this whelmed, right? I wasn't underwhelmed, I wasn't overwhelmed. I was, this is exactly what I expected. It is Last of Us Part 1. It's Last of Us 1 looking like Last of Us Part 2, theoretically playing similar to that. And it looks cool. Like, it looks great. Like, I'm very excited to play this fall. But I do think their target audience is all the people who have played Last of Us Part 2 who might not have had a PS3 or whatever when Last of Us Part 1 came out. And then also people over the course of the PlayStation 5 generation who are going to watch the Last of Us HBO show go, oh man, I want to play Last of Us, get their hands on Last of Us Part 1. And then eventually when Last of Us Part 2 either comes to the service, or if they want to play it through backwards compatibility on PS4, like, you know, those people have that option there too, right? Like, they're looking to further sell the Last of Us franchise with this title. And honestly, like, I think it's gonna work for them, right? My one misstep with this is probably the price point. I think the price point is too high for the audience. But again, like, I get why they do it. I think everything they're doing here is very standard. Hey, we have a thing to sell. Let's sell it. It's gonna do good for us in the long term. And I honestly have little to complain about here from like a realistic, like, this is Sony being Sony doing business standpoint. As a fan, I wish there was more. Like, I wish I had more features. I wish this did feel like more of a bonus edition than another iteration of the franchise. But I feel like this is very like them hitting par on like the golf course here.
Sure. And I think it's, I'm not underwhelmed. I'm whelmed as well. I think, and I won't be underwhelmed until it's exactly what you're saying. Obviously, they want more PR beats with this. You want to reveal things at a later date. You want to, you know, as we get closer to September, get people more excited about it. So of course there will be a state of play or a blog that goes into detail of what they've changed and why it's great. And here's like, you know, they're holding off on showing you gameplay, not because they're hiding it, but because they want to drum up hype and get you there, right? And I think we can get there and see it and hopefully be, hey, here's this, you know, fucking radical stuff and why you'd be a part of it, right? One of the things I thought that, of course, is interesting too, that you're 100% right, Plus. Hey, we have a brand new console. Hey, we have a brand new show. We want you to buy this game and have it in the best quality possible and have it be as representative of where video games are today as possible, rather than playing something dated or whatever. And of course, there's the conversation that, you know, if you hate all this and you have PlayStation Plus, you can get, you know, or not even PlayStation, or yeah, the Instant Game Collection right off of PlayStation Plus has Last of Us Remastered in it. So you can go get it for free if you want to when you buy your PlayStation 5. I guess it's not technically a game collection. You know, yeah, PlayStation 5 game collection.
Yeah, you have to have the PS5 because something that we discovered is that the... if you just have PlayStation Plus, but only for PS4, right? The Last of Us Remastered is at that premium tier, so it's like specifically for PS5 owners.
And PlayStation 5 is when you buy, it's just the collection. But that's not PlayStation Plus anymore, right? Wasn't the PlayStation 5 collection just if you bought it, or was it also tied in?
It's been so long,
and I have it open in front of me.
Like, y'all should check out the stream that Bless and I did on Tuesday, where it broke it, like, broke me, and I had a breakdown live.
I was ready for Barrett. I was like, Barrett might not make it out this
stream. It was rough. It was fucking rough.
But no, I believe if you have PS Plus and you have a PS5, then you get instant access to the PS Plus collection, which does have Last of Us Remastered.
Okay.
And I think that's still the case.
Yeah, right. I mean, Last of Us Remastered is here for sure, and it's free, and it's so yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I just couldn't
remember anymore if it was tied to you if I bought the PlayStation 5 without the thing.
I wasn't sure. Because I forgot to look into this, and I think, Greg, I think you have your PS5 open now, so maybe you can see it. Can you still access the PlayStation Collection as separate from PlayStation Plus Plus?
Great question. Right now,
PlayStation Plus Plus ate the lunch of PlayStation Collection.
It might have.
Probably wrong. I don't know.
Right now, Last of Us Remastered is on mine, and it has the premium PlayStation Plus premium tag on it.
Right, like you can't. Like, I'm asking, like, are you able now to, like, go into that PlayStation Collection thing? Like, I want to say,
and here's the thing, the UI on, we'll talk about PS Plus in a future thing, right? But, like, the UI on PS Plus is fucking insane in terms of how they divvy everything up. I do believe I saw a PS Plus Collection tab in there.
Under PlayStation Plus, so it makes it.
PlayStation confirmed to IGN that the PlayStation Plus Collection will not be going away with the change of the new PS Plus.
There we go.
Exactly.
So, the only thing that changed, I think, was Persona 5 was taken off.
But now we're stuck into that. Yes, now we're stuck in this Last of Us on the PlayStation Collection versus Last of Us that they're going to come out with. Now we're back in the Persona 5 Royale conversation of, hey, we're hearing all these questions. Which one should I play? One of them is $80, whatever, $70.
The other interesting wrinkle is something Barrett sent through over on the PS I Love You thing, right? Going to this tweet from Major DCPS, who says, strange, Last of Us Part 1 artwork is the background image for the new PlayStation Plus. And then it's a screenshot of the store itself with the new PlayStation Plus, and it's got Last of Us Part 1 up there, like the new PlayStation 5 version. So probably absolutely nothing, just confusion over that's not part. They wanted remaster and they put that in there.
Yeah.
And I doubt to read too much into it, but that'd be fucking dope if they were like, listen, this game's old, so we are putting it out. It's a remake and you can't buy it if you don't want to be PlayStation Plus.
But it's a PS5 PlayStation Plus. But it's technically a PS5 native game, but we're going to put it at the premium tier since it's a remake of an old game. God, fucking, I hate it. I hate it so much.
We'll save that anger, Barrett, for when we actually talk about it. But also, like, I do think that for that, I would think that maybe that is them seeing that as the official, all right, cool, we're updating the Last of Us art, right? This is what we view as current, up-to-date Last of Us art. The Last of Us is part of the PlayStation Plus collection. I forget if Last of Us Part 2 is in there, but who cares, right?
Like, it is?
All right, cool. Then yeah,
Last of Us Part 2 is not available for free for anything.
Then we'll just say Last of Us Remastered. Maybe that's the methodology behind it. I do think that it would be a stroke of genius, such a baller-ass move to put Last of Us Part 1 in the PS Plus extra tier.
I mean, if you wanted to fucking push people to do PlayStation Plus, for sure.
Extra tier, Bless. It'll be premium.
They're not going to do that. They will, because
they did already, Bless.
But they have. That's the thing is, they have no rules. That's where the frustration comes in. Is like they have no rules about it. The Last of Us Part 1. If that were to come to PS Plus, it would for sure be that second tier. I don't think there's a way that they would try to hide that.
Oh my gosh, L2 Larson in the chat.
They're not trying to sell that.
At the very least, let's get a Last of Us Part 1 2-hour trial. Oh man, that would be like such a slap in the face. To not get the game. I don't know. They're gonna sell you the game, and we're gonna buy it. So
Mao writes in and says, "Will it update for a small fee if I own the previous one? As it happens with the Uncharted game, absolutely not.
No."
They're definitely taking money on this.
In their eyes, this is a new title. Like, they are treating this as a brand new PlayStation first party title. And I think, yeah, like, don't.
Again, this is a remake versus a remaster.
Not a remaster,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, Uncharted, like, you could call those remastered. Like, they were just like kind of straight porting like native PS5 versions, because I think even in the online store, like, the titles in the PlayStation Store got like rebranded in and of themselves. Like, the old Uncharted 4 page and the old Uncharted Lost Legacy page, like, got rebranded into each other and stuff like that. Like, they consider those the same game, so that's why you got like the discounted upgrade or whatever.
I think, to put it in simpler terms, like, I think PlayStation views this the same way they viewed Demon's Souls by Bluepoint, where that's a game that I believe is on PlayStation Plus Extra, not in PlayStation Plus Premium for whatever reason, even though it's a remake, yada yada yada. But for that, right, and PlayStation talked about Demon's Souls and sold Demon's Souls as if it was a new title, right? Like, they in the marketing, all that stuff, they talk about it being a remake and they know it's a remake and all that stuff. But
that's so different though, because of the gap was so different, and also, like, this has come out so many times that, like, it is not enough to say we remade it, now it looks really good. It already looked really good and it does look better. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you it does not look better, but that gap is not nearly as astronomical as the gap between old Demon's Souls and new Demon's Souls, which is why it's not enough to get up there and show me two slides. Games. And yeah, but like, it got a remaster on PS4. Like, I understand.
Yeah, but like, I agree with you optically. Like, in terms of like a fan audience standpoint, I'm right there with you that, like, it makes, doesn't, like, Last of Us Part 1 doesn't really need to exist, and I feel less blown away by it in remake sense because there's been less time. But I think optically, in terms of how PlayStation's treating it, they are treating it exactly the way they treated Demon's Souls.
Oh, like, for sure. Yeah.
And these are both, like, and I, like, to the remaster standpoint, right? Like, yeah, like, they remastered it for the PS4. It did come out on PS3, right? Like, it came out, like, Last of Us 1 came out a few years after Demon's Souls, maybe like 3 or 4 years, correct me if I'm wrong. But I do think that in the way that they divvy up the remasters, remakes, all this stuff, this is in that category.
Yes, I agree as to their rationale. I disagree on their marketing approach, because you can't just do the same thing because it's not the same situation, even though the years on the calendar are the same.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I think they're going to do it anyway.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, they already are doing it, but that's why I'm like, oh, you can't just get up there. I mean, you can because you're Last of Us, which is maybe they're like, it's good enough, you know? Like, we'll bring out the actors and then just whatever. But like, you can't just show me two pictures because the pictures aren't as crazy differentiated because of the work that you've done before. I mean, like, you've actually done too good a job along the way, and now it's just a little awkward. So I don't know, but we'll see when there's more to see. Hopefully there's something now, really exciting. I don't know.
September 2nd. Would we be feeling these feelings if they just shadow dropped it? Like, if they were just like
it's out now?
If they're like, one day they're like, hey, we just remade Last of Us Part 1. Go ahead and play it. Like, it's $67.
No, because you'd have answers. You'd have answers. Yeah. We would know what the gameplay improvements are. If it's,
I'd be really confused as to what. Like, I'd have other questions that are outside the game because they don't do that. So I'm like, what's going on? Like, someone just went rogue and released this game into the wild. But yeah, like, it's just, I find it a little bit frustrating. Again, you guys are probably right. They're probably just slow rolling the sort of announcements and unveiling of it. And for all I know, you know, a month, 2 months from now, they're going to do this really cool side-by-side gameplay, and I'm going to be like blown away by the things you can do and the trophies and the whatever. And it's all going to be, this conversation is going to be like nothing, you know? It's like they're going to totally fix everything that I have beef with. But as it stands, I'm like, yeah, the way you shut it off, I am not excited with how you shut it off. And it made me skeptical of the product, which I think is a bad way to show your product. But I don't know.
Blessing is the biggest factions fan in the world. Where did he come down, or what they talked about with the standalone multiplayer?
It's me, Sancho West, and Golden Boy. We're the top three.
That's it.
I'm glad they talked about it. You know, like, as the years go on with them not saying anything, you get into the worry space of, does this thing even still exist? The fact that they talked about it and showed concept art, you know, gets me a little bit excited. I do wish they showed more. You know, to only show concept art is a little bit of a bummer. And I think that comes back to the whole Neil Druckmann section of the Summer Game Fest live showcase, where it was, here's a concept art for Factions. Here's some details about the movie. Troy Baker's in it. Like, you know, and here's Last of Us Part 1. Like, I feel like that whole section was just a bit messy. And yeah, to only have the concept art here, it was like, oh man, I wish it was more. But I do think the concept art looks cool, right? Like, you know, we all know that city, the city where this takes place in, like, that's pretty dope. And them talking about how it's like
San Francisco,
if you're not aware. Them talking about how this game is going to have as much story and writing and all that stuff that are in the traditional Last of Us games. That has me excited and curious on how they do it. Like, we've thrown around so many different ideas and predictions in terms of, is it Battle Royale? Is it more of an ongoing thing? Is it like Destiny? Is it yada yada? And, you know, I still have those questions. Like, the concept art really answers nothing for me because I could see any of those in here in terms of what they're trying to show. But,
yeah.
You know, he said 2023. Did he say we'll see?
Yeah,
more
so they Neil talked on there, but if you want to read off the PlayStation blog, the two paragraphs of meaning go like this: however, we can finally announce we're creating something much larger than a mode. We're thrilled to share a piece of concept art from our upcoming multiplayer experience, which is an extremely ambitious undertaking. We're growing our studio significantly to ensure we build this full scale, standalone game with its massive scope and immense world in a way that fans have come to expect from The Last of Us and Naughty Dog. We aim to make our newest entry into multiplayer inviting to new players while still a thrilling challenge for our more seasoned fans. There will be more news to come next year, and we cannot wait to introduce you to the team behind this new experience. So they talked about there being a story throughout this multiplayer game, but yeah, talked about hearing more about it next year.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. We're gonna theorize as the months and probably years go on for this thing, but like I still do hope that it does feel almost like a Destiny style. All right, no, there is a co-op campaign you're going through with friends, but then also PvP elements as well. Like the 4v4 stuff is still here. I would love for there to be a battle royale and all that stuff. But yeah, like him talking about like, oh yeah, we're expanding. Him naming the leads on the project too. Like he's making it sound like more and more of a real thing, which I really want, and I really appreciate. And so, did this do anything for you guys? Because I know you guys are less as excited for factions.
No, I'm excited. I didn't play the old one, so I can't be like, oh, all those memories. Like, I don't have those, but like, yeah, sign me up. I'm down. I've been signed up. I don't know what I'm signed up for, but that
you're
never stopped me before.
To be there. You're excited to be there. Yeah, I'm in the similar vein where factions didn't do much for me in terms of what I wanted to play or whatever, but I'm down for more in that world. I want to try it. And, you know, everybody looks at the concept art and how they talked about it. It was like, Last of Us meets The Division. And if that was fucking correct, I will be insanely playing that. I will play that game.
The concept art actually really made me think of the scene on the bridge. If y'all know what I'm talking about, I don't know if I have to give more information. You know, when I think they're going from the aquarium or to the aquarium. Like, that's what I thought of when I saw that concept art. And I'm like, I want a whole game that's just that.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah. But no, I thought, you know, I'm down. And the fact that they're talking about there being story interwoven with it or whatever, like, yeah, I'd love to know what's happening in the Last of Us universe outside of Joel and Ellie and what's, you know, the people we've met before.
And I do like them talking about it alongside the announcement of Last of Us Part 1 as well, just because for me, Last of Us in 2013, part of what that made that game a 10 out of 10 for me was the multiplayer being in there. And so, and I didn't expect Last of Us Part 1 to have the multiplayer, obviously, but, you know, them like restating, hey, we're still working on this, this is coming, helps ease some of that tension for me of wanting to get my hands on Last of Us Part 1, experience it the way I experienced it back then, but then also wanting to get my hands on a multiplayer thing. And then also, you know, this all feeds into the machine that is The Last of Us. Again, talking about Last of Us Part 1 coming this fall, Last of Us TV show coming next year. Like, if you watch The Last of Us TV show, you're going to want to play Last of Us Part 1. And now, cool, here's a big factions multiplayer thing for you to play alongside with your friends. Like, they're looking forward to making Last of Us an even somehow even bigger franchise for PlayStation in the next, let's say, year and a half than it is already so. And so, looking forward to see how that plays out for them.
Me too. We're going to get so much more Last of Us, and I can't wait. But for now, let me tell you about what I can't wait for you to try. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get your name read on the show as a producer. You could be one of the trogs watching live, like Slacks, Keegan Hill, and L2 Larson. Of course, if you're a patron on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you don't have to listen to ads. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You're not watching or listening on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I've been using AG1 the last few months because I figured it was well past time I start thinking about vitamins, but I'm usually not the biggest fan of their format. So being able to drink a flavored water is much more up my alley. And I'm a huge fan here of the fact that it doesn't taste super healthy. It kind of has like this mild tropical taste to it that I look forward to every morning. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved only for big businesses to everyone. So upstarts, startups, established businesses, content creators alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to across the globe. Our content creator friends use Shopify to manage all their merch sales and stuff. And I recently got Gia a pair of Allbirds from the Allbirds website, which also uses Shopify. So that's an example of big websites using Shopify for their sales. You can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting on conversion rates, profit margins, and to help you supercharge your knowledge of your sales and your success. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial, and you can get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames for a free 14-day trial. shopify.com/kfgames.
Blessing, tell me what's happening this week in PlayStation.
Apparently, we're getting a PlayStation Elite controller. This comes from Tom Henderson at Try Hard Guides. Sony is working on a genuine professional controller for the PS5, and the company will reveal new hardware in the coming weeks, sources have claimed. It's believed the codename of the controller is Hunt, which will have several interesting features, including removable analog sticks, trigger stops, and rear buttons, aka flappy paddles. These claims you gotta love those flappy paddles. These claims such hardware came alongside pictures of the alleged prototype, which has been sent under the condition that the pictures are not published and the source remains anonymous. Pictures of the controller keep the classic PS5 style, but show a few key differences. One of the big changes is buttons under the analog sticks, which allow you to completely remove the analog sticks and their components, which Sony refers to as removable stick units. This presumably means you'll just be able to be a stick unit rather than a new controller if it develops stick drift, where your analog stick drifts one direction without moving. Another feature includes the trigger stops at the back of the controller, in addition to flappy paddles slash buttons that have become increasingly popular over the years, with players turning to companies such as Scuf Gaming and Nacon for such controllers. The prototype also features grips to help hold the controller, which also seem to be removable. You guys in for the PlayStation Elite controller?
No, I'm good. Maybe not, just because it's like, it's probably a little overkill for what I'm doing on my PlayStation, which is like mostly single player experiences. And like, I don't think, you know, not to disparage myself, but I don't think the hardware is why I'm not doing like better at Fortnite. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just, I think we got other things to work on before, you know, like not throwing chug splash at your enemies, stuff like that. So probably got a little bit away, but I'm interested in it. I'm glad. I like the idea of them making it. I also like the idea of it being a rumor that they haven't announced that maybe is kind of far away, because I just bought another controller. I bought the pink one. I don't know, the Nova Pink controller. Yeah. You may be wondering why I haven't taken it out of the box if you're watching the video version. It's because I also got the faceplates to match with it. Whoa. They come out June 18th, I think, or 17th, maybe 17th, maybe today. I don't know. They come out soon. I'm gonna, and then I also bought the. Okay, so then are they already out?
Oh, you got the pink one.
No, did you get sent one separate? FTC disclosure. No, I got the package from PlayStation.
Okay,
or whatever. And I thought of you, Janet. I want you to know. I remember. I actually hit up Joey. I was like, "Was it you that said you wanted the faceplates?" And she's like, no. And I was like, shit. And then I Googled it, and I was like, oh, it was Janet. It was Janet. And then I looked, and of course, you requested the pink. And I was like, oh, sorry, I want the pink. So
no. It's all good. You can always, you can just send me the money. Don't even worry about it.
No, I'm not going to do that.
That's fine. I'll just, it's a write-off. But PlayStation, I'll give you my address if you want it. But I also got the external, the ooh, forget nothing external,
well,
the internal,
you,
the storage. I'm doing a whole PlayStation makeover. I'm tired of living the life I've been living, and I'm ready to live a better life where I'm not deleting everything.
You went the full 2 terabyte, huh?
Yeah, you got to.
I
got to. I'm so tired.
You sent the PS I Love You Slack. You're like, hey, I'm tired of living this life. And I've never,
not in a scary way,
even nearly hit the cap. Like, I haven't updated.
Lying.
I'm not. I don't, like,
on your PS5, like, your internal storage?
My internal storage. I've never used external storage for PS5. I barely ever hit, like, a cap. You know,
damn, I fill my up all the time.
I feel like I have the cap, and I have like a good like 8 or 9 games, and it's just like one of those things. Like, when I'm done with a game, I'm gonna delete it. You know, like, I played the quarry, I fucked up the ending that I wanted to get, and I went back, did the last chapter one more time to get the ending I wanted to get, got that, and I was like, all right, cool, deleted it, boom. I don't know, which is weird because I was the exact opposite for my PS4, where I was so like, you know, I need to look up the Greg Miller video where it teaches me how to like take out the hard drive,
and take off
the plate and stuff like that. So when I get a PS4, I know what to do and stuff like that. And like, I had 2 terabytes on that PS4 Pro.
I'm very much like in a particular audience, because like, I do play a lot of multiplayer stuff. And so Call of Duty alone will fill up half a PS5. And then once I add in Overwatch or Apex or something, or Fortnite,
the biggest
or whatever.
Multiplayer thing I have is like Fortnite, which I doubt is ever going to be near that, right?
Yeah, I mean, not near Call of Duty. Well, nothing's near Call of Duty. But Fortnite, I want to say, that's pretty big, though. That's like, what, 60, 70, I imagine?
I don't know.
They got a lot of skins in that game. It's got Spider-Man in there.
That's what it is. It's the skins that are doing it.
Batman
in
there.
It's all the skins in there.
Coffee. Thank you.
So yeah, not to derail the conversation, but like, I think these updates are cool for people that want them. So far,
here's my thing.
I just bought the ones that I wanted. And yeah, for my storage stuff, like, it fills up all the time. And it's one of those things, too, where like, I'm tired of having to like constantly manage and make these big decisions on, okay, like, I downloaded GTA 5. I don't know when I'm going to play it. Do I want to delete it? If I delete it, though, I can't ever be in the mood to start GTA 5, because then I'll have to wait like an hour to start GTA 5. Then I got a couple games I'm playing with like other people that I keep on there. You know, Isaiah's like, why don't you just delete Sackboy? I'm like, I can't delete Sackboy, because then if you guys are ever down to play Sackboy, I'm going to have to re-download it. And by the time that's going to cut into time.
Your life is going to be changed once you install this thing.
The
why don't you just start platinuming games? You keep saying you're Platinum Horizon, just Platinum Horizon, be done with it.
Yeah, I'm tired of having to do that, though. And you know, and I'm now like all in on PlayStation. That's like my main place that I play. Like, last gen I was mostly on Xbox, and I had an external storage for that at a certain point. But anyway, so yeah, I had to finally get it. I'm excited to get to fucking take a screenshot and not have it be, actually, you're out of storage. I'm out of storage for everything.
Real
and then
quick.
Like, yeah, it's this whole thing. Anyway,
real quick,
forever.
Everybody, we're gonna go around. We're doing round robin. If you know the answer, if you looked it up while we're going, don't. I have Fortnite over here. I've looked at how big Fortnite is. Blessing, Price is Right rules, closest without going over, how
going
big
over.
You think Fortnite is?
$60. Sorry, 60 gigabytes.
Janet, how big do you think Fortnite is?
28.
Barrett?
I'm looking at a 500 gigabyte SSD to possibly get for my PS5.
You don't need it!
Get the 2 terabyte, then you don't got to think anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to think with the 2 terabyte.
I'm too busy to not think.
Barrett. Just download everything.
Janet, you said 28?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 30.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barrett is your winner. Fortnite's size on my PlayStation currently is 34.39 gigabytes.
Wow. See, look at that. That's how you compress Activision.
Congratulations.
Them audio files probably are like fucking 90 gigs a piece just for a fucking like voice line for one character. Anyway, sorry,
so long story short, I'm glad PlayStation is making an Elite controller. I won't use it because I'm like Janet. I'm just making narrative choice games. I don't need back paddles.
I suspect this Elite controller thing to be true. I hope that it doesn't come out soon, because I literally just gave Andy Cortez $150 for the scuff controller for the PS5.
Did he order two?
I think he saw another one that he wanted to get.
Yeah,
so he gave
there was like more. He ordered one, and then like more customization options came in a week after he had ordered one. So
yeah, and so if anybody wants to buy this for $100, let me know. But no, yeah, I mean, cool on them. I'm glad they're doing it. Like, it's been highly requested. So go get in place
now. Make the design lab.
Now I'm gonna say the same thing. See, that's what I went. Give me a.
Even though they're doing great right now with colors, I am appreciative. I love the kind of funny blue and then the pink one.
I want more game specific ones, but that you know maybe that'll be coming with bigger releases that may or may not be coming out. I don't know.
Like Last of Us Part One, could you imagine? Just a controller covered in like clicker guts or whatever. That's why I don't do the controller design, because that's not my job. Next up for this week in PlayStation, what is Corey Barlog hiding? This comes courtesy of two tweets from Corey Barlog's timeline. First of all, Corey Barlog is back on Twitter. I think that's first and foremost.
That,
which means that he has something to say. First thing that he came through and said he quote tweeted David Scott Jaffe, because David Jaffe tweeted out, remember that Sony insider pal who said God of War Ragnarok 2022 was still on? Well, another Sony insider pal texted me today to say it's no longer locked in and the release date is TBD. Maybe 2022, maybe not. So fuck if I know. 50-50 at this point. Man, when are they going to announce that release date? Corey quote tweeted that with a gif of Kratos coming out of the shadows and saying, wait, what? Question mark. That's tweet number one. Tweet number two came about a day after. He tweeted out, Steam Deck arrived, ... but probably won't get to play it for a while because I'm currently playing this other thing. He then posts a picture of his hand with a DualSense inside it.
It's happening. Bruno already told us God of War Ragnarok was coming in.
He's planning me Horizon.
But I love the meme responses that like, the PS5 bar isn't on. That means you're probably playing it on PC. God of War Ragnarok coming to PC too.
There's a mouse right next to the controller. That's true.
Probably just the dev kit. But yeah, anyways.
Does this mean anything?
Yeah, it does. He's playing. I think that, you know, Corey can't be contained.
He's playing us. That's the thing. Corey's playing us on Twitter.
He's playtesting.
Yeah. He's having a good time.
I think it's happening. I do too. I don't think he would tweet it if it's not happening. Because I feel like you don't want to be Corey Barlog and be wrong in the situation.
I mean, here's
where
the
it gets
thing
delayed
too.
To 2023, and it's like, Corey, what about this tweet?
I was playing it.
I mean, he also tweeted for the longest time. He didn't know what God of War Ragnarok was, right? And we did see like another break. I was looking back at like he was active in December and then didn't tweet again until like March. So he has taken these kind of like long breaks and then like has disappeared where he literally tweeted this. So yeah, we'll see.
I think the fact that his hand was almost forced by this Jaffe tweet to make a response, right? And then I think that this is a follow-up to that, to be like, no, we're not, you know, to kind of answer those questions, because I'm sure as much as we're sick of talking about it and we just wish we had a date, I'm sure Sony Santa Monica is sick of everybody doubting that they're actually going to hit it this year.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I finally got to the point where I'm like, I don't care anymore. Put the game out, whatever. I'll play it. Like, I can't keep doing this back and forth of like, is it coming out this year?
Blessing's exhausted.
Do your job.
I'm fucking exhausted. Like, I'll play the game.
Both me and Blessing are just living on the edge. I'm like, I don't got the storage. Blessing's mind is just deteriorating.
Now, here's the thing. I want to do a thing where I read in to things that are probably nothing, right? This PlayStation Elite controller apparently was, a few weeks away from announcement? God of War Ragnarok, I think it was Jason Schreier who was saying that, like, oh, man, yeah, or maybe it wasn't Jason. Somebody was like, oh, they're going to announce it, like, later this month or, like, later in the season, what the release date is. Is there a chance that this stuff is all bundled up together? Is there an event where we'd get both the announcement of the PlayStation Elite controller and a God of War Ragnarok release date?
No, under no circumstances.
I don't think
so. The PlayStation Elite controller will be a blog post, and God of War will be a trailer and, you know, blog post, and then probably maybe state of play.
They don't seem to really show much hardware accessories, like, ever in a big way, which I kind of wish they did, but they don't seem to care to. Like, even with the
Elite controller feels bigger.
I mean, they barely even with PSVR 2, wasn't that also initially shown? Was that initially on the blog, or was that somewhere else? I think it was on the
PSVR 2.
Did they go to Wired?
Remember, it was talked about. They talked about it in the interview, and then they dropped the actual look of it on the blog.
Yeah, so
fairly certain on that. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Chat.
So yeah, I don't think they're going to, but they could still happen around the same time. But I don't think they'd be in the same like moment. Like, and then what are you playing it on? You're using the paddles. You're paddling.
Yeah, you're just
up.
Watching. I would love. They'll never do this, but I would love for them to announce like the God of War Ragnarok state of play, and it is them showing 15 minutes of gameplay, them announcing the release date, and then it's the final trailer. Kratos. You're controlling him, or controlling Atreus, because Atreus killed him. And then there's a zoom out, and then you just see the hand, like the Corey Barlog's hand.
I want to see them put the faceplate on, and that's how you know what we're in for, or whatever.
It's like, oh shit! They put on the God of War Ragnarok faceplate on the PS5, you sit back, and it's a God of War Ragnarok Elite controller.
Nobody cared who I was until I put my faceplates on.
Let's round out this week in PlayStation talking about Gran Turismo, specifically the movie. We now know what that movie is, thanks to Justin Kroll and Patrick Hypes at Deadline. Sony has set an August 11th, 2023 release date for Gran Turismo, the video game adaptation from director Neil Blomkamp and Columbia Pictures. Jason Hall wrote the screenplay, and PlayStation Productions' Asad Kizilbash and Carter Swan serve as producers alongside Doug Belgrad and Dana Brunetti. Here's the updated logline. Based on a true story, the film is the ultimate wish fulfillment tale of a teenage Gran Turismo player whose gaming skills won a series of Nissan competitions to become an actual professional race car driver. Greg Miller, are you going to be watching this movie in theaters day one?
Not a chance.
No?
No. Sorry. Why would I? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, why would I?
I was having a conversation with Janet, and I like movies. I realized that like the only thing they're missing here is a star actor. If you tell me that like Justin Smith is playing the lead role and show me a good trailer, I'm there day one. I think this sounds fun.
It sounds fun for sure. It just doesn't do it for me. Of like, I don't care about cars and racing, so I'm good. Just his drama inside it. It sounds like, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like a great movie for the next time I'm on a flight to Montreal.
Yeah.
On Air Canada. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll play this with captions on while I take care of Ben. And yeah, I see Justice Smith, like over there, you know, doing his thing, racing cars, being good at GT, then getting over there, you know. No, you're a fucker.
You're a fucker. Okay, that's the line of the game. That's the line of the game. What line of the Corey. I forget, like, The Ghost of Tsushima is a movie, right?
That's a movie.
That's an action movie. What are the franchises left that they need to make a movie out of?
They did Ratchet and Clank already.
Knack.
Spider-Man has his own thing. You know, Knack was on my, this is like, I feel like spoilers for the
Spider-Man movie, hilarious.
PS Plus review we're going to do. But on the like, based on what you're playing games you suggest, they fucking suggested Knack to me.
Hell yeah.
That's like the second thing on my feed.
My favorite is like the PS Plus, like, yeah, the must play section. And I go in there, I'm like, bro, most of these are not must play games. You just throwing games in here.
I want Astrobot as like a little Pixar short. I don't want a whole movie.
They
a
should little, do that, short. Right? How awesome would it be if they did? They had little shorts before every one of the PlayStation movies, right?
And it was like a different PlayStation platform. Or they're just all Astrobot.
I think it's all Astrobot, and you could do Astrobot, like, you know, try to take what they did in with the Astrobot one, the rescue mission, and have it be like they're doing spoofs on other PlayStation games.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That'd be really fun. Now it's time for PlayStation Picks. This is where I go through and talk about the games that have dropped this week and what we picked to play on PlayStation. Starting with the drop this week, we got Resident Evil 2 on PS5. That came out Monday, June 13th. We also got Resident Evil 3 and Resident Evil Village. Both of those came out the same day. Ollie Ollie World Void Riders, the DLC, came out on PS5 and PS4 on Wednesday, June 15th. Redout 2 came out on PS5 and PS4 Thursday, June 16th. TMNT Shredder's Revenge came out on PS4 Thursday, June 16th. The Gardens Between came out on PS5. On Thursday, June 16th. That one's a really cool indie game. And then Amori is coming out on PS4 Friday, June 17th. Explore a strange world full of colorful friends and foes. When the time comes, the path you've chosen will determine your fate, ... and perhaps the fate of others as well. This is one that I've been waiting for to come to consoles for a while. I think it was shown during either a Nintendo Direct or one of their indie presentations coming to that. And I was like, oh shit, this looks like an Undertale, like Earthbound style game that really speaks to people like me and Barrett, us nerds. And I saw this and I was like, I can't wait for it to come to consoles. And I checked this morning and it's like a surprise release, basically. It came out of nowhere. It turns out it's coming out on Friday for PlayStation. And so this one that I can't wait to check out. It seems like on PC it's had a big following. A lot of people seem to dig this one. And so if you're into that kind of game, boom, Amori, coming soon. Come today if you're listening to this, the day of release. Greg, what'd you pick up on PlayStation this week?
I made good on something we had said a long time ago, and I played No Janet, not the kid amnesia game. Get the hell out of here.
I knew it wasn't.
I'm going to. I appreciate you for not. Yeah, I was going to say, Janet hasn't taken me to the woodshed yet, but on Tuesday she popped up like, wait, are we doing the show today? Because I had totally, in a middle of a meeting I was hosting, been like, hey, we need to move PS I Love You a little bit earlier on Thursday. I was like, no problem. So I slacked Janet, but I said Tuesday instead of Thursday. So she was ready to go on Tuesday.
Yeah, good, man. I like changed my shirt and everything. Like I like pulled up a whole setup. It was a whole thing. I mean, it really was only 10 minutes of my time. But then I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. And I just went about the rest of my day.
And I appreciate it. And so then at the end, yeah, you were like, all right, fine. You have to play Kid Amnesia, though. And I will. But this week has been a nightmare, just a nightmare of work. So I have not been able to.
Excuse next week. So
next week, ladies and gentlemen, take it to the bank. Next week, I'll play the Kid Amnesia Experience to talk about it.
How long is it? I forget how long it is.
Like an hour, maybe two max.
I got it.
It's debatable where the end even is. It's a whole thing. Just walk in there. Walk around in there.
I will do that. Instead, though, what I went and did is I played Behind the Frame. If you remember, this is that one that we talked about. I forget on which show, but it was definitely one that popped up, and it was we were watching trailer for it, and I was like, holy shit, this looks exactly like my game. Some kind of narrative game. Art style looks a bit anime or whatever. And it's this, you know, you're going through. It's a point and click of, you know, being this artist. You're in your apartment. You know, are trying to finish your painting so that you can apply for art school, you know, and then across the way, there's an old man and his cat. And then, of course, a lovely story unfolds. What I appreciated about it was it's a bit of a puzzler, but it's the usual kind of puzzler where it's like, it's pretty obvious what you're supposed to do and stuff. It's way more about the narrative than it is about making you get stumped or anything to that imagination. What I appreciated is I didn't see the story going the way the story went. It was that one where I thought I had it dead to rights if I knew what the story was going to be, and it wasn't. And so, like, you played all the way through, and it's one of those ones that, you know, again, I feel like I knew where, even not knowing where we were going, I felt like I knew what the narrative was, and even that by the end went a different direction than I thought it was going to do. And it has left me thinking about it quite a bit. And that's what I love about a game, right? Of like a narrative based game of you finish it and it's still with me days later where I'm still like, man. And, you know, this, that, or the other, but I don't want to say anything. You know, I think you should, if you're into Greg and Janet kind of games, I would recommend it again. I think, you know, memory serves, it was an iPhone game or whatever. So it's probably, you can probably pick it up cheaper there than you could on PlayStation. It is an easy platinum in terms of like the guide if you wanted to go after. I haven't gone back to it because I wanted to play, you know, without having anything spoiled for me. And now it's like, okay, well, I went back and did X, Y, or Z on these certain specific things, I could get what I needed done or whatever. And I plan to eventually because I do really enjoy the game. But, you know, it's fun. It was short. I'm rusty now. I guess I could look at my trophy list. I want to say I knocked it out really quickly. Hold on. Where is it? Why is this sorted weird? Yeah, what do I got here? My first trophy in it was... Oh, as I was going to say, this is international time. It looks like I went for like an hour. I went for an hour with it. And obviously, I think I paused and did some work and stuff. Well, no, I guess not. I paused and maybe answered a text message. Nothing intense, but an hour of a playthrough, but I only have 19% of the trophies. So it's not like there isn't value there if you wanted to go back and do it. I enjoyed it, Janet. I think you like it too.
Yeah, I'm glad. I was scared when you first started telling the story because sometimes I'm like, oh, I wanted to play this game too. And then you're like, no. And I'm like, damn. But no, I'm excited. No. Yeah, I'll pick this one up then. Sounds cool. This was also on my radar too. I just kind of forgot where the console release was dropping. So yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And it looks like it's $13. I'm trying to get the PlayStation Store to open up for me to give you a price on it. But yeah, $13 is what it looks like. What have you been playing, Jim?
I've been playing Fortnite. I got my first ever solo victory royale. And I was very, very excited. It was a high I haven't felt in gaming in a really long time. Maybe ever is a little dramatic, but I don't play a lot of competitive like multiplayer stuff. So that actually might fit the bill. I normally save the PlayStation Chalice for the Platinums, but I also use it for momentous events in gaming. So like, you know, when Isaiah finally beats Elden Ring, I'll probably tell him to drink from the Chalice as one does. But yeah, it was awesome. You know, it's funny because I put up the clip and like, I know the clip doesn't look impressive like on Twitter because I'm like not that good at the game. And it's like, clearly this is just two people who can't play fighting each other. But like, you know, hey, at least I didn't lose to me, right? Yeah, there I go. I think I figured out how to make it not get compressed to hell also when I take it from my PlayStation to Twitter. But yeah, I was thrilled. You know, the new season started. I bought the battle pass. So I bought V-Bucks for the first time. And of course, I used the Epic Creator Code. Kind of funny for all my Epic in-store and in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite. But I hate Rocket League and I really like Fortnite.
Whoa! Hate?
I know. I like cars. I like soccer. Cars and soccer is too floaty. I don't know what to do. I couldn't. It makes me nauseous spinning around in the thing. I couldn't do it.
I kick around the idea every so often of like, what if I got really good at Rocket League? People always say the Platinum's easy.
It'd be fun. Like, you know, I know easy, people that play, but...
Or Greg.
The Platinum for Rocket League?
Yeah. It's lengthy. You have to drive a lot.
Yeah, I figured.
You have to drive a lot.
Because I definitely... That was like one of my first Platinums.
It was my first Platinum that I didn't even mean to get. But it was like 6 months after Rocket League had come out, and I was playing that really consistently.
I want to say I got it like a few weeks after the game came out. But all I also right. remember that
I get it. Maybe you drive longer than I do. You're so good at driving, Bless. Jesus.
I'm just saying. I didn't
Chad said, what's my, was my victory rally emote. I don't really, I didn't have one like queued up to go. Like I was so shocked when it ended because just like my other like win in a battle royale, Pac-Man 99, I didn't know I won until after they had to tell me. Yeah, that was me throwing the chug splash because I didn't know. Like, how do I throw it on myself? I've only used it on other people and on walls. I tried throwing it on the floor. It didn't help anything. I was just like, I was so panicked and getting hit so hard. I had the spray. I'm going in circles around a tree. It was a mess. But I got it. I like barely believed that I got it when I got it. I like took a screenshot. I was like, video capture. I put the controller down. I ran to my kitchen. I'm like, Isaiah, I won. And I was like, you want to watch it? I'm going to make you watch it anyway if you don't want to watch it. So I got bad news. But boom, I did it all by myself, all by my lonesome. Very thrilling. But yeah, I've been having a blast. I've been, you know, squatting up with some of my friends over on Discord, you know, like Neens, Eddie, my boyfriend Isaiah. I played with my brother a little bit as well. And yeah, I'm super into it. I'm having a blast. They got all these like cool new things for the new season. And I'm like trying, my goal now is to like earn enough V-Bucks to get the Battle Pass again. Maybe nice. I'll do the League at some point. But anyway, I'm having a really good time with it. It's really cool. And I feel like it feels pretty approachable to me, especially now that there's no build mode. Like that's the thing that I've just been holding on to for dear life. I get in my car, I run people over all the time. Like I have such a good time playing that game. My mode. I get in the truck and I just ride that shit so the wheels burn and then I leave the fire. But yeah, I'm having a great time.
Bless, what about you?
I've been actually scrambling to figure out what I want to talk about for this section because I've been playing so many video games in the last like week and a half, and I've realized that none of them have been on PlayStation just because I've been like what I've been having on the Steam Deck. There have been a lot of indie games coming out for like PC, Switch, and stuff. But then also with like the previews we've been doing, like a lot of the upcoming games that I got to get my hands on around, like, oh yeah, let me talk about this. Turns out for some reason they're not coming to PlayStation. The one game that I did check out last week, and when I say check out, it's more of a big return for me, Knockout City. That game recently went free to play. Yeah. And with that, I was like, oh, let me go back to it, see like what's changed. You know, it feels like a brand new big launch for the game. And jumping back in, man, this game is so fun. Like, I am shocked by how still fun Knockout City is. Because it was one that we played pretty hardcore for about, a month and a week or so. And then I fell off hard because I think all of us decided at the same time that, oh, it's time to move on to whatever the next thing is. And so I've not really gone back to it since then. And picking it back up, it picks back up so easy, right? The controls come so naturally. But then, like, the gameplay loop is just so, at its core, fun in a way where I'm like, wow, I can't believe how good this game is, pick up and play. From, like, game one, I'm already having a blast. And me and Barrett playing on the stream the other day, like, I feel like we automatically locked in. Like, we knew how to pass.
Never put the game down from last year.
Now, yes. So here's my question. Is it filled with noobs that you're cleaning up on, or is it that thing where the only people standing are people like you that are excellent at the game?
I think there are a lot of noobs coming in because of the free-to-play aspect. Gotcha. And so you're seeing a lot of people populate the servers with like just people that don't know how to play as well as me and Barrett, because, you know, come on, it's me and Barrett. But yeah, so like we're cleaning up to that extent, but then we do also run into people that are like, oh, okay, you know how to play the game. But even with them, it's not a thing of they're cleaning us up. Like, I think we got into some good back and forths. And as I was playing last week with, I think it was Rihanna and Danny, like, we were having a lot of good back and forths and winning probably a good 60 to 70% of the games we were playing and having a good time. There are a few new features. One of the balls they added is the boomerang ball, which if you throw it at anything, once it hits, it comes right back and you need to actually catch it. And that's been one that has been so difficult for my mind to adjust to because none of the other balls work that way. And so I'll throw a ball, hit somebody, and then the ball comes back and it hits me and knocks me or whatever. And it doesn't take down my health, but it is just the annoying thing of being discombobulated for a second and me realizing that, like, oh shit, I'm open now. Or like, even if I miss and hit the ground, it'll come back. And so, like, the ball, no matter what, is always coming back to you unless the opponent catches it. And that is just a thing that takes so much mental adjusting to get used to. And then there are a few new maps that have been added since the last time I picked it up. One of the maps is like a prison yard kind of map where they have these flying saucers that if they spot you, they'll put you in a cage ball. I absolutely hate this feature. I do not enjoy this map. Yeah, like Barrett showing footage, you're watching the video version, like if you're just not paying attention or if you're in the heat of battle and happen to step into one of the spotlights, you'll just get caged, and it is so annoying. There's also
I less dislike the little orbs that are the little pillars that try to find you, because it's kind of useful to like get the prison or the cage balls and stuff like that, if you know how to time like their
catch. if you can catch it
as long as you can time it out. I just don't like the flow of the map, the way it's designed and stuff. It feels very weird. I feel like I'm always looking for where the fight is, whereas like in other maps I feel like I can kind of naturally gauge where things are going to happen next, where I can't with this one.
I feel that. There's also one other map, and Bear just showed where we just got clobbered, but also one of our randoms dropped off. But there's another map too. That is, I think it's like maybe like a farm like setting. But it's the map with flying saucers on it, where you can hop on and basically like Spider-Man, Green Goblin glider your way around the map. I did not have fun with that map. That's one of the newer ones.
I did not like this one bit.
I did not enjoy that one bit. I was playing with it with Ree and Danny and some folks. And Emmett Watkins Jr. actually was playing with us too. Uh-huh. And like a minute into playing that map, we were just like, oh, what is this? And I'm enjoying this one. Let's finish this game and try to hop into another one. But like aside from those things, right? Like I've been really enjoying going back into the game. But like now I'm like, oh, there's so many games about to come out that I don't know if I'm going to have as much time to get back into Knockout City, because, Greg, we're entering into indie season. There are a lot of indie games coming up. And so, like,
indie season siren, sorry.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I people should
just make sure you understand. Make sure you understand.
Siren. But yeah, like, you know, Amor is coming up. TMNT is coming up. Like, I've been playing Neon White on my
TMNT's
like,
here, man.
TMNT, yeah. TMNT is already here. So, like, you know, people, I'm going to hop into that, hopefully, if I get time. But then, like, the hits keep coming with, like, Sonic Origins, which I know is indie, but, like, I'm going to check that out. Capcom, DNF Duel, Cuphead, DLC, that's coming through. And then the one I'm really excited for, early July, we're getting Arcadageddon. From the studio you really love, from Illphonic, and I'm like weirdly very excited about that game. I've not played it since the beta last year, but I had a lot of fun with the beta.
Oh, was that just I thought that was like an early access thing. So
I'm sorry, it's been early access.
Okay, so it is early. So you could play it right now. They're just doing a 1.0.
Yes, like it's finally launching into 1.0, and I've been waiting because I want to get like the actual progression and play like the finalized version, because when I first jumped into it last year, it felt unfinished in a lot of aspects, but felt like it had a lot of great potential. So I'm hoping that one hits, and I'm hoping that people get into it, because I want to play this game with other people, because I had a fun time with it.
Well, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of PS I Love You XOXO. We're your PlayStation podcast. We run you through the PlayStation news you need to know about each and every week. Remember, of course, you can support us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get each and every episode ad-free. You can watch us recorded each and every Thursday live, just like Madeline Stanley is, my dog Nick 96 is, and Omega Buster R. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Maybe use that kind of funny code on Epic Game Store, or when you're not playing PC, when you're playing the Fortnite, you're buying your V-Bucks, you use it there. Of course, you can get the show for free, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. I have good news. Blessing and Janet, we did win. Barrett Courtney in the PS I Love You chat says, ordered a 1 terabyte SSD. Are you happy?
It's coming tomorrow.
We're very happy, Blessing. We're very happy, Barrett. We're proud of you. We're happy.
Thank you. Now I'd never have to think according. Again, like I barely even fill up the 700 gigs that I have already on there. I feel like
time to start downloading stuff, and there's no better time than PlayStation Plus.
I mean, here's the thing: like I barely freedom.
I barely play games on the PlayStation anymore. You know, it's like I've got this Xbox, I've got this Switch, I've got this PC. All right, whatever, Blessing, Mister. Oh, like I need to get all games on my Steam. Deck.
Joel and Ellie Supremacy and this fucking Steam Deck is fucking amazing. Everybody get one. All right, it'll change your life. It'll change your goddamn life.
You can't get one. Why are you selling me a thing? Why would you show me it if I can't fucking buy it?
Yeah.
If anyone watch Uncut Gems,
get money.
That I'm talking about. There you go. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show to do. We're going to answer Ron's question. If two PlayStation studios had a swap IP, what would you want to see?
Ooh.
Well, until next time. It's going to be really good. It can't all be topic of the show. Oh, God, how old is this fruit from 7-Eleven? Oh. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.